aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis off. She's off. For another day of broadcast insolence, Richard Roper is here. And I would like to say that we got Michael Steele going to join us in just a few minutes.
Cool.
Put the band back together with Michael.
Nice.
When are we going to get a break from this heat wave? I could just go for a nice, cool 47-degree day. Man.
You know,
sick of this stuff.
You know, it's like the Three Bears problem, isn't it? It's either too hot or too cold around here.
My goodness. Jeez.
No, this is beautiful.
Skilling at 4, I'm going to tell you, 410. He's going to get him talking to from me about this. Too much. I did say, but you know, there is kind of a...
I think just last week you were complaining about the cold weather, right?
I think I was.
No, that was terrible.
I know.
That was the worst.
Like 10 days ago.
Week ever.
I believe
it. I think it was like three days
ago.
We gotta
get a break from this, though. Jeez. It was, check on your neighbors if you have a chance, especially the elderly.
Roar, are you doing okay?
Take a block of ice up the stairs to him if you can.
As Rich Daly once said, check on your aunts and knuckles.
Yeah, he did say check on your aunts and knuckles.
let me just say that there is absolutely. No excuse for what's happening here. Can I give you a public safety advisory here?
Yeah, okay.
There is police activities over by Oak Street Beach and Chicago Avenue underpass and all that.
Uh-oh.
Because there's a police helicopter searching the water over there.
Oh, geez. Somebody
now, I don't think somebody lost their keys.
Oh, boy.
Right? So I don't know exactly what's happening there, but I've not been able to check that. So, Violetta, could you do your job for once and find out what's happening over there?
Yes, sir.
But it was flying really. I've very rarely ever seen a Chicago police helicopter flying as low as this one was flying.
Really?
So I'm assuming that they are looking for somebody. If you get in the water right now, you are going to have a problem.
Yeah.
Because the water is super cold, and it's hypothermia temperature waters. So it's even though the air temperature is, what is it, 110? What is it right now? 105? What do we have?
It's not quite that. But
something like that?
I think it's like 86. 80,
okay. Yeah. All right. That's close enough.
105.
I think when you had the wind chill, take the wind chill out, -2, but plus 5.
Stay inside. Turn the air conditioning on, everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's hard to dress for this weather, though, because it's so hot outside, and then it's freezing inside with the air conditioning, so...
Oh.
It's like a lose-lose. You have
a problem that has plagued mankind for 80 years now.
First world problem.
This one still hasn't mastered the art of packing a sweater in the bag.
Well, it's annoying to carry a sweater when you're drenched in sweat outside.
The AC is too cold.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Can I get a sweatshirt?
Oh, God.
Half the world's still hoping for that first glass of clean drinking water, but here in Chicago, we're complaining about the sweater in the bag, and then the bag gets all bulky and... Wow, bumpy.
Plus, sweaters cover up your whole outfit.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, see, that's the problem. That's the issue, is that, you know, she's got the outfit going and she doesn't want anybody. Yesterday, she told everybody how hot she was.
Yeah.
This young lady is in for her comeuppance, is what I would like to say. And I know it's an old term. I know you don't know what it is.
I could guess.
Just remember what happened to Paris Hilton. Just remember. Didn't last forever.
It's pretty wild to see the wardrobe change on the first warm weekend walking up and down Michigan Avenue today.
Yes.
It's like, what? It's 85? Okay, I'm going to rip half my clothes off and walk up and down Michigan Avenue. I'm like, this is okay. I can get used
but
to it.
But I don't like it when the guys do it.
No.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of guys walking around without shirts on today.
Yeah, dude.
And some of them, I mean, there's guys who can walk around without shirts on, but those guys scare me because I figure that they're going to hold me up.
Guys, yeah.
But guys who walk around without shirts on always have tattoos in places that they shouldn't.
And it's the shirtless running men that really bug me, because it's just so incredibly hot. They can't have that thin t-shirt on anymore.
And then you add the panting or the heavy breathing.
Get the headphones going.
Dude.
I'm like, okay, listen, marathon man.
Yeah,
take it easy.
Blasting their headphones. They can't hear how they sound.
Yeah, so they
run
sound
past
crazy.
You. Like, oh, what was that?
Yeah, they're kind of grunting while they're doing it.
Those fun guys.
I'm like, keep it together.
Rocky theme. It's like, yeah, calm down, dude.
Wherever Bronco is right now, I know he's got his shirt off. No matter where, at the bank, he doesn't wear a shirt.
He's got Dockers on and no shirt.
South Pole, no shirt.
No, he's got those those dad sandals that cover up your whole foot, but somehow are still open.
With socks on?
No socks. No, don't worry. He won't do you that justice.
it's too much of a stereotype for him to put the socks on with the sandals. So he doesn't want to do that. Although I saw like hipsters, like a millennial hipster today, doing that with his socks all the way up to his knees. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, two on the nose, sir. Two on the nose. All right. Michael Steele's going to join us on the other side. Find out first from Judy what is coming up on the WGN News at the bottom of the hour.
All right. How about that? Hey. The holiday weekend starts on WGN-TV as Lopez takes the bump against the Tigers. White Sox, Tigers, tonight at 6 on WGN-TV.
There you go.
Norm Cash and Al Kaline sitting this one out.
They are going to have to shake off what happened to them yesterday. Look who's here! Look who's here! Who My God! Our long-lost cousin has finally showed up at the door.
Oh.
And I don't know, for a month this man has been gone, but he did tell us it was going to happen. Michael Steele has returned to the program. And
did I hear Roe and Roper were together?
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Holy smack.
Yeah, I know, but I know Anna's on vacation today, but Richard's always a part of the show when he comes in and he fills in when
What's up, Richard?
Michael, it's so good to hear your voice, my friend. It's like Clinton and Gore. When you spot us together, boy, it just makes you long for the old days, you know, when the scandals were simple and the environment was at least possibly going to be saved.
That's right.
Not anymore, my friends. That's all over. All right. Hey, since we haven't talked, I know you've been traveling and working and hopefully getting some rest as well. But let's. I just want to know, as you've been watching your TV over the last 4 weeks, you know, there was every possibility that we weren't going to be here in 4 weeks. You know, just a heaping, smoking pile of ash. And then it wasn't. Then it was like, oh, now we're best friends. It's going to be great. Look at this. We're getting along. And now it's like, oh, you're going to be a heaping, smoking pile of ash. And now we're like, hey, do you mind? Let's go ahead. You know what we need to do? Let's just go out to dinner. Let's forget all this breakup talk. Let's have dinner. We'll talk it out there. What's going on here?
This is what it sounds like and looks like when an administration reacts as opposed to plans. The president, let's go back to when the foreign minister from South Korea came to the White House and had meetings. And that evening, around 9 o'clock or so, maybe a little bit before that evening, he steps out onto the portico and announces that, you know, South Korean president is offering a meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. And the president, without hesitation, thought, or any consideration, said yes. And they were off to the races. And without the planning, without the team, we just announced the ambassador to South Korea this week. So it's not like, you know, you have someone on the ground who can help plan these things. And this is what it is. And so the reaction by the administration is one of, okay, what fire do we need to create to sort of take everyone's attention away from the Mueller, the, you know, porn star, and all the other controversies that the administration has. And it blew up in his face. He got played. He got caught being played. And to save face, he decided, well, I'm going to break up with you first. And called it off before Kim Jong-un, who was about to do the very same thing.
Then why is he calling him up and going, all right, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I don't get it. I mean, I know that Kim Jong-un's people said...
Do you get any of this?
No, I don't get any of it. But, I mean, right. So I'm thinking, so because I don't get it, I always default to maybe they know more than I do, which is always a mistake, has historically been a mistake. But I would like to, I'm going to say this, that maybe this is just all part of his negotiation. Maybe, you know, Kim Jong-un has finally met his demagoguery match, and it's sort of like, okay, look at you. and that really this is their form of communication.
No, that's nice, but that's not anywhere near where I think it's going on.
Hey, speaking of...
Let me just ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Kim Jong-un, after having the United States twisted in knots, his father, his grandfather, and now him, over the last 50-plus years since the end of the Korean War, have the United States twisted in knots suddenly come to the, because Donald Trump is president and he's found his demagogic match, go, you know what? We're going to give up our nuclear ambitions. we're going to denuclearize the peninsula. That makes no sense. And so there was a reason why China called Kim Jong-un to China, not once, but twice in the last 3 weeks. And that was to let him know, you're not doing what we think you're going to do. And here we are.
All right. Speaking of demagoguing, president keeps talking about the spy in his midst, and this is all for political purposes. It's Obama. Then Republicans go and they sit in the meeting, and Democrats too. The Gang of Eight looked at the same material. The Republicans look at this material yesterday, and they come out, and it wasn't. And that's obviously not the case. It wasn't the case when the president said it. He was making it up out of whole cloth. They knew it. And when Republicans came out of the meeting, they're like, Nunez said nothing. And then the other guys are going, I didn't say anything that really surprised me here. So And they said they believe the Mueller investigation should continue, right? So why aren't they calling out the president? I know the answer is obvious, but are we at a point where Republicans have to put the, because it's their job in the House and in the Senate, don't they have to check the president a little bit here?
Yeah, they're supposed to. They've abdicated that responsibility, though. They're nothing more than probably they are a soft, warm, fuzzy sock that Donald Trump puts on his feet every night. And that's pretty much what they are.
Glad you said
and
feet.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is what we witnessed yesterday was abhorrent. It was a bastardization of our judicial process. It was an undermining, I think, and I'm not going with the hyperbole here. I fundamentally believe what we saw was the president putting himself above the law, because there's no way on God's green earth that Richard, you or me, if we were under federal investigation by the Department of Justice or the FBI, would be allowed to have our attorney or any other representative go into a meeting in which the FBI would tell us how they gathered the sources of information and so forth on me. It just
I like how happen. He left me out of it because he knows I would go in with my attorney. I like that. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Am I interrupting something? Sorry. I just wanted to say hello.
I would have Mike Monaco with me at all times. Yeah, he needs to look at the evidence you have against me.
Amazing.
I need you to take a look at that. I mean, that is crazy. I mean, it is crazy when you stop and you think about that. Every lawyer I talked to yesterday was like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just pretend like I'm not here. Just carry on. I'm just going to take this chair in the corner. I don't need to sit at the table.
All right. But let me ask you a question, though. Jeez. Let me ask you a question. You ran the Republican Party, Michael Steele. Do you think that Donald Trump has already changed forever and forever, as long as we shall all live and beyond, has changed the Republican Party so that it no longer cares about these kinds of rules? It's really all about just getting their way, not even a conservative way. It's just this kind of angry nationalist protectionist thing.
I don't think we will. What will emerge on the other side of one or two terms of Donald Trump, and certainly two terms, will not be salvageable as a party. And I think that, and there already are now many folks, myself included, figuring out, okay, what should this look like? And those who want to go that way and remember those Lincoln principles, those, Frederick Douglass ideals that helped define the party for 150 plus years, then that will go that way. And what's left on this side will be what it is, a shadow, a shell of its former self. Because the fact of the matter is, this current leadership, these current members, and this current iteration of the Republican Party cannot look the American people in the eye with any level of authenticity on pretty much any subject and say, follow me, and have the American people follow them.
Okay. Welcome home. I missed you. Missed you, man.
Missed you too, man.
All right.
In case you missed it, too, Sylvester Stallone was in the White House yesterday with a big, giant cartoon boxing glove. So that was fun, too.
Yeah. This is really going to help Donald Trump's relationship with the African-American community by pardoning Jack Johnson from 100 years ago.
But the kid, just on that point, they think that should be one of those things where black folks look at that and go, see, he pardoned a black man. And all's good. Oh, and by the way, unemployment is the lowest it's ever been under Donald Trump for black folks. And that's enough.
But and remember this, if you do kneel during the national anthem, you got to leave the country.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to remind you.
All those black athletes have to leave the country.
Right.
So let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
Numbnut.
All right. I love you. Goodbye. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys.
All right. There he goes. Michael Steele, former head of the Republican Party. Now you can see him on the MSNBC or the NBC or the he's also on the Sirius XM channels too, on POTUS.
I think if you told him 10 or 15 years ago that he would one day be calling the sitting Republican president of the United States numbnuts, that he would have said, believed you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Michael, here's what your future is going to be.
Yeah, well.
Or our future.
Yeah, it's all of us.
Such as it is.
We're all in this together. All right. Giuliani, too. I love this. Oh, he's really helping. Giuliani said, Trump wanted the White House lawyer there. Of course he wanted it there. Who's Giuliani working for? Who does number two work for? That's what I want to know. All right, hold on. We got to find out here from Judy what's happening all over the Chicagoland and Midwest in the world. But first, we've got to do this. I remember when Rock was young. Me and Susie had so much fun. Holding hands and skimming stones. Here she is, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Making your way to Chicago today for a big conference. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I think these financial people are always going to conferences. I don't know what that's about.
We do tend to do that a lot.
I don't know. What does that mean? It sounds to me like it's just an excuse to go away.
I wish it were that. It would be if we ever got to actually see the outside. But we generally end up going to hotels or conference facilities where a group. So for example, this week I was at a bank conference, which you hear me talk about frequently because I feel like it's a great way to learn what's going on in the economy. But there we had a large brokerage firm sponsored the event, and then you had 50 some banks with their management teams on site open to hosting meetings. And so it's a nice organized way to so you get to see 10, 12 banks. Those are very long days, but you get to meet all those management teams, hear what's going on. You get a good sense of
what's going on. What'd you learn? Can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, it is actually interesting what's going on. So I've been doing, I call this Bankapalooza, because there are so many bank conferences and bank meetings right now. And I've been on the road looking and visiting with management teams, going to different geographies in the U.S. for basically the last 3 weeks. And so what's really interesting here is that bankers who are best friends with the small businessman in America are saying that, you know, confidence is pretty high. The loan pipelines look good. People are looking at expanding their businesses. They're thinking about CapEx spend now. And we're
seeing English, please.
Capital expenditures. So not just, you know, maybe we'll add on an extra shift, but putting in new equipment, building out the facility, adding space, expanding their business. And so that's all really good. And so that bodes well for the economy going forward. And it also tells me that things are, you know, still moving along in a healthy, you know, slow, steady upward trend.
When you go to these banking conferences, do you sign in with a pen that's got a rope on it and it's attached to like a big metal thing and the pen never works?
The pen always says weak blue ink in it.
It's the worst. Yeah. You can't get a pen. And then I noticed yesterday, I think, Susan, didn't McDonald's have a big shareholders meeting, I think, at the international headquarters?
This is also a time for shareholder meetings. We've got a lot of annual meetings coming up for companies. And also here in Chicago this week, I've talked about the bank conferences, but one of the other things that we had, and it's timely for McDonald's in a way, the National Restaurant Association was doing their annual show at McCormick Place. And so I was there meeting with publicly traded companies who make restaurant equipment on Monday, you know, talking to them about how their businesses are going.
And that's a bellwether, isn't it? The restaurant business?
Looking at the consumer is important because ultimately it's consumer sentiment that drives the economy, and you know how we feel about things determines how much we're willing to spend and how free we are with our cash. And so that's always a good thing to check. And interestingly, consumer numbers came out today and confidence is still pretty high.
Yeah, and I know it's like, you know, it's one of those things I talk about. It's just, you're just seeing the surface of it. But it certainly seems like in Chicago, especially like on a day like this, every single restaurant is just bursting with humanity. I mean, it feels like people are out there spending. And
right. It's jammed. And so it's interesting because when you first get a tax cut, frequently, you know, people worry because is the economy, you know, accelerating? Do we see the spend right away? And generally, you don't. When you first get a little extra cash in your pocket, your instinct is to save it for the first month or two, and then after that, you start to spend. Mm-hmm. And now we're that month or two later, we're starting to spend. And so we're seeing the economy out there. And the other good thing that banks, and this is important, bank managements were talking about was credit. How does credit look? Are people overextended? Are businesses overextended? And they're not.
Oh.
And that's very important because that's one of the things that did not look good going into our recession. And so you want to always keep your eye on that. Mm-hmm. And that is a good indicator as well.
I like to invest in Old Molasses in the Third.
Jeez.
Oh, dear.
Oh, how's Bitcoin these days?
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
I know. Well, yes. So Bitcoin, actually, all right. So
she doesn't have an answer for that.
I know. Are you paying attention? So Bitcoin has run into trouble, as have many cryptocurrencies.
No.
Because more and more countries are saying, we're not going to allow this to be traded. We're not going to recognize it as a store of value. We're not going to allow accounts. And alas, I think the days of Bitcoin, you know, north of 20,000 at the peak in December, many people.
But it's still over. It's over 10 now, isn't it?
Yeah, like, but this is the sad thing, is many people bought it, you know, at sort of 18, 19, 20,000 right at the peak. That has, you know, that's a rough ride to go back down to, you know, $7,000 and then climb back up and
12.
Tell me about it. It's been a roller coaster.
Yeah. But you know what's really interesting is now that we're moving out of the building, Kevin has he's brought in a bunch of Blade servers that he found on the back of a truck, and he's been plugging them in to all the outlets here, and he's trying to mine Bitcoin upstairs.
It's a savvy move.
Yeah, it's a good move. And he's doing it using it's weird. He somehow has found a way to make a chainsaw create enough energy for a Bitcoin. Oh, and yes. I don't know how that's working for him. Congratulations.
Long day is all this mining. You know?
Good job, Kevin. There is an interesting article that I saw on be careful, Kevin, because you know it's Bitcoin actually is, because it's virtual. When you think about cops and robbers and chasing down the thieves, you chase down the trail of cash. Mm. And if your Bitcoin is robbed from you, you can't trace the cash. You can't find the trail.
Oh, no.
And so it
big
disappears.
Risk, big reward. Big,
yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So it disappears into the ethernet,
downloaded
into
a free
someone else's
antivirus
account.
Off the internet. I should be good.
You should be good.
And I've always said that big risk, big reward, and I've never gotten the reward. It was always the...
It's coming. You got to just... Risk. Bigger risk.
Shoot or shoot.
I'm going to stay with the... I'm a little more conservative, so I'm going with the Trump Kim Jong-un commemorative coin, 1995 right now.
Right, because it was $24.95.
Right. It's a value deal now. So, it's an interesting approach.
They're still selling it, though. It's really funny. They're doubling down on it today.
I'm waiting for it to be buy two for one.
That's coming. BOGO. It's a BOGO. Yeah. And I think that we might actually, we'll see. That's how he's also going to, Kim's going to be selling his nuclear weapons that way, too. Buy one, get one free. He's going to be on, I believe he's going to be on Home Shopping Network selling enriched uranium. Let me ask you this question about the other kind of the big story here that we were talking about before the show, and we were talking about John Williams, that gas prices, now they're going up, and you know, there are some analysts who were saying, you know, all the money Americans are going to be spending on gas prices going up is going to impact, it's going to offset the money they're getting back in the tax cut. I don't know. Is there real math to that?
There is real math to that, and there's something to it. So one of the nice things and the help for the consumer in recent years is that gas prices have been pretty low. And so that's been a nice break for them because they've had more money to spend on other things. And now we've seen oil prices go up. And so with that, gas prices are going up. And that definitely means you have to spend more on gas.
And why is gas going up?
Well, now we're also... gasoline related to what, just look at the price of barrels of oil, and that's going up because we've had some concern over activity in the Middle East. What's going on? Now, in the last week, you started to see those oil prices soften because OPEC is going to have a meeting at the end of June, and you've heard Saudi Arabia and Russia come out and talk about relaxing some of the restrictions on production. And that's because they're worried about sanctions on Iran coming back in and Venezuela going offline. So two other countries in OPEC who may not be able to produce as much. So they're saying, all right, well, our dominant producers, Saudi and Russia, you know, maybe we'll bring back a little bit more. There's concern over that supply-demand issue now. So you're seeing gas prices, oil prices soften. Maybe that will translate into gasoline prices, but we're entering peak driving season. Everybody drives for the summer. Yeah. So gas prices do tend to trend up right now anyway.
And in decades of doing this, you always get this story that, you see there was a refinery down in Louisiana blew up. There was a fire over by Whiting. There's always some refinery that has some sort of a problem. We're doing the summer blend. No, I'm not jinxing it.
You're jinxing it.
I don't think that really happens. Oh no, they got to retool a refinery. And it's always in Louisiana or in Gary, Indiana.
I think we need to reach out to Prince T'Challa and Wakanda. They have the reserves that we really have.
Vibranium, I would really like some of that.
That reminds me. I have another entertainment-related question for Susan. Is it really possible that Netflix can be worth more than Disney at this point? I mean, I know Netflix has got all this, all this content and everything, but you think about Disney and all the things they own, and the movies and the theme parks and everything. Is that for real? Is that a real thing?
It's possible.
Wow.
And it's, when you
How
think,
is it possible? It's not
well,
possible.
This goes back to changing times, the disruptor industries, how things have changed. And so Disney has this terrific, terrific library of films, great creative content, theme parks, you know, wonderful assets, broadcasting.
When do you see live?
And Netflix has a great distribution system and a business model that is working for today's consumer.
As we pointed out yesterday, the day before, it takes about an hour and a half just to figure out what you want to watch on Netflix. It's got too much.
Right, it's got so much content on it.
And whatever the algorithm is trying to tell you what you're going to like, they got to refine that.
Continue watching for Roe?
Yeah, because it's like, I don't like that.
They always make you, without trying, you end up on a wacky stand-up by somebody you'd never heard, you know. She's funnier than you think. Press that. And all of a sudden you're watching somebody, you know.
Right, exactly.
But they do. They keep you on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the hook. They keep you on there. And they've done a really good job building that experience. Because, you know, if you go back 15 years ago, no one thought you could just pull up Netflix and pick up a movie. You'd be scrolling. Well, I don't know. I'll have to see what's on TV. No one says that anymore.
I'm not even sure. Do I pay them? I don't even remember if I pay them.
Well, that's
the thing.
I think, yes, you do.
And okay. How much am I paying them?
More than you were last year.
On my credit card.
Back to Netflix, which essentially now has become a utility bill.
Kev, what's your mom?
Don't even think about it.
That's very true. I got you. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is a utility bill. What's your mom's password?
I will not give you her password, Raul, over the air. I'll text it to you.
All right, thank you.
Nobody says let's AMC and chill. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they used to during the Mad Men days. They did. Maybe. No. All right. Thank you.
Good stuff.
Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager, Research Analyst at Westwood in Dallas. Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Right now, Judy tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Hi, Mr. Tom Skilling. I need to talk to you about a few things.
I understand that. How are you, Ro? It was great seeing you out at Sox Winter
Thank
Day
you.
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. I was talking about this yesterday. I know you were off yesterday after this, but I was talking about this. It was like, by the way, Tom Skilling,
ladies
always,
and gentlemen.
Why do I not do this in time? Brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. There's no more perfect sponsor for Tom Skilling than PermaSeal.
That's true. And Richard, hello.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations on your day yesterday. What a well-deserved accolade. And my neck of the woods there, you know.
It was beautiful. Yeah, we had a good time. Is Violetta there, too?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Violetta. Richard, it was fantastic. We just had a great time.
Yeah, wonderful.
And,
yeah.
Wonderful and Kevin, Kevin
was there.
Put out a picture of the three of us together, and it was like. like our long lost son. Which one's your dad? Was basically exactly the way that that was. That's how it looked.
You post a picture with Skilling, and it just goes crazy.
Oh,
likes
insane.
And the shares and all that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
All right, now wait. Now hold on a second. Now here's the thing. So I walk into the stadium.
Yeah.
And this is a couple hours before first pitch. I walk into the stadium, and the stadium there's already thousands of kids there, and they're all sitting on the third base line in seats, and Tom is standing up on the third base dugout, the Sox dugout,
and they put a net behind me so I wouldn't fall off. This year, that'd be good. I've always been afraid I was going to do it.
Actually,
go ahead, Ro. I'm sorry.
It was pretty amazing because you were standing up there, and I'm like, I remember Ribby and Rhubarb would go up there or whatever it is.
Sure.
What is the one now? What do they have now? Who's the
Southpaw?
Right. So, and then I'm like, I'm watching this, and Tom. First of all, it was like 90 degrees on the field, and Tom's wearing a black suit, and I'm like, why is he doing this?
Well, but. You know, this is a tradition I started during the eclipse last year. You know,
right.
I just,
is that
it's
your eclipse
hot,
suit?
Put something dark colored on, you know? just.
But he was holding court, man, and it was unbelievable. And these kids, I mean.
Amazing.
The questions that these kids were asking you were so. And I don't know. I don't think anything was. Any one of those kids was more than an eighth grader. Right?
No, it's true. They were young people. One young fella got up and he said, is the Gulf Stream slowing down? And I thought. I said, how in the world did you know about that?
Yeah,
or, you know, and why
cool.
were you being inquisitive about that? And the answer is, yes, it is. It's running slower than any time in the last 1,200 years. But to think a young, you know, mind could get their hands around
right.
this, it's pretty cool.
And they're primarily Chicago Public School students there, right?
Mm-hmm. They were wonderful,
yeah.
yes.
And they were like, and it was very inspiring. to be out there and to watch this and to watch the love for Tom. And then they take Tom off the top of the dugout. And this is the moment. this is the moment that was really great. So they take Tom off the top. And Tom's got people, as it turns out.
Sure.
And he's got, I mean, it's like, you know, when you see, all of a sudden you realize when you see somebody, when they come off stage or whatever, and they've got security around him.
Right.
He has burly guys
Absolutely.
Around him.
And well, Ro, you've got to understand what's going on there. I mean, this is a chance for, you know, my fellow workers here to spring the coop.
That's true.
A great excuse to get off work, you know, and come on. But actually, no, Diana D'Anicio from our creative services department was there. I had Steve Kahn, my partner here.
No relation.
In the weather office. No, that's right.
No, he works
He's
hard.
K-A-H-N and you're C-O-N-N.
And I understand your security, they were armed with T-shirt cannons, keeping with the motif, which
well, you
is
know,
nice.
One of the funniest moments, Richard, was... as we were walking through the into the bowels of the stadium there, the umpires walked by, and the one guy says, oh, he says, the weatherman, he points to me, and he says, you know, he says, we're just like you. Everybody presumes we're right 50% of the time. You
That's
know?
A good point. You guys do have that. You know?
I know.
You kind of want to be, you know, you don't want to be too much in the spot.
Right, exactly. I said, yeah, and everybody, you know, hates us on occasion, you know, so, but that was a lot of fun.
It was a ton, and there were people, man, Tom Skilling is a rock freaking star.
Oh, gosh.
As you're walking through there, people are like, oh, God, Tom Skilling! Tom Skilling!
No, I tell you, Ro, you know.
It's true.
No.
It's true, and it's true, and it was just it fun was, to watch everybody. And the kids are all trying to touch Tom. It was like a thing, like oh, I think there's some luck associated with you in some way.
Wow.
I think you're just an iconic status,
Richard. And, there's a little bit of embellishment.
No,
going on
no,
here. I'll
you
tell
feel
you
better when you're around Skilling.
Kev, you were there.
Once you talk to Skilling or you shake his hand or you say hello, even if you're around him, you just feel better. You're like, you just feel happy.
Right. I mean, am I lying here? I mean, the people had to take him out through the field because they couldn't take him back out through the stands.
Oh,
I mean, it was like, it was, it's
well,
a
rock star.
One of the disappointments, I love talking to people and everybody whisks me away and says, you know, you're not supposed to talk. But of course, you know, there's a little thing called a ball game that's supposed to go
that
on.
Was
you
true.
Know, this is kind of a sidebar activity. And so I suppose they had to get me out of there, you know, so they could get down to the serious business of what goes on at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing.
It wasn't yesterday.
Yeah. You know, okay, get off the
the field. We got to give up four on the first. Anyway, that you know they're going to be good in 2020. We know this. I believe in this team. I really do. Yeah. But Tom, you know the thing is, Tom, you're the best at what you do. And in this city, in this Chicago area, you know, weather is a story. It really is. We joke about it all the time, but it really is fascinating. And anything can change from day to day. The first game of the Cubs series this homestand, it was 48 degrees. Oh, I think, Tom. Today it's 87. You know,
what
same
miserable start for both teams.
And
for
same
this,
thing with the White Sox. So you see one day where you know everybody's in you know layers, and then all of a sudden today they're talking about how the ball's going to carry, and that's why we got our apps and we got our you know digital things, but we want to watch our Tom Skilling because he can tell us the story and tell us what's going to happen, what did happen, what should have happened.
Well, I'll tell you what, Richard, that's very kind. I'll tell you something. It is true. This is a great weather market, you know. John Coleman used to say this is Broadway for weathermen, and it really
true.
Is.
Right. You think anybody cares about Johnny Mountain doing the weather in L.A.? Oh, remember the great movie L.A. Story, Tom?
Yeah.
Steve Martin played Harris Telemacher, who actually videotaped his weather reports and went golfing and roller skating because it was the same weather.
Richard, remember the movie The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
And you know, it never was a box office smash, but it was beautifully
it's good
done.
Good film, yeah. He gets really a Slurpee well thrown at him at one point, as I recall, Tom.
And you know, he came in after they unveiled this to an audience, he got up and gave a couple of words, and he says, you know, he says, Mr. Skilling, he says, you know, this is meant to you know, put weather forecasters from L.A. up there, and he said, you've got to understand, nothing goes on out in L.A., you know, in terms of weather. Well, it does, actually. But he's right. You know, compared to what we have out here, this is
the problem in L.A. is the weather starts from the ground up as opposed to the sky down, except in El Nino patterns. Yeah. I mean, it is always there's a fire, there's a there's an earthquake, there's a whatever it is. That's what they're always worried about.
You know what, Ro? When I was in high school, I went to a broadcast, my first broadcast weather conference. It was held here in Chicago. And, you know, this was a thrill for a high school kid. And I remember they had... The guy from KNBC was one of the speakers there, and he says, you know, he says, the most exciting, this is a weather joke, and it probably go over everybody's head, but he says, you know, the most exciting thing about the weather out here is that the inversion layer goes up and down, you know, with day and night.
Hey-o!
I know. Nobody knows what that means, but I mean, it's true. It's the layer under which the smog forms, you know.
So, I haven't heard that one in a while.
I love that.
I know.
I love anything with inversion layer as the punchline.
It's sure to be a hit, right?
But it's true. You know, those guys are all, I mean, they literally, in some of those markets, they had weather clowns. I mean, actually, that was in the early days of television. Yeah. There was a lot of that, too, because there wasn't really forecasting that was all that accurate or that that precise. So there wasn't really about science. It wasn't about science.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, and I say this with all due sincerity and respect, I think that's where when you, and there's a few other meteorologists around the country that did this at the same time, but that's why they started hiring Skillings of the world. And what Tom did that was different than the rest of them is he worked really hard. He was a graphics geek. Is a graphics geek, and you built so many more graphics, almost three times as many graphics as everybody else used in their weather forecasts, and it changed.
We all
everything.
Love that stuff, though. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was amazing. And that was a product of the time too. I mean, we were able to visualize stuff. You know, when you started years ago, you had no satellite imagery. There was no real time radar imagery available to you. You had a plexiglass board with a leaky pen, you know, that got all over your shirt and all.
Harry Volkman and his magic marker,
exactly. So there's been a revolution, as in all sciences, with visualizing stuff. So, you know, we're able to show some pretty cool
but
stuff.
But you made it television, which was...
Absolutely true.
That's true. Ro, I'll tell you, when the news consultants used to come in years ago, the Frank Maggot types and all, I
love those consultants. Love those TV news consultants. They know everything.
They horrify... You know, they looked at me and said, you know, disaster area, you know. I remember they used to say, you can't use the word jet stream. Nobody understands it. And or dew point. Don't ever use dew point. Nobody knows what that is. Well, a lot of people still don't. But, you know, I always figure that there are people who do understand it, and you're not going to turn off the ones who don't.
And people
just
have
occasional use
outdoor,
of it.
I mean, especially in the Midwest. And obviously WGN being, you know, the Midwest's television and radio station for generations.
True.
That you know, farmers needed to know. I mean, there's not a farmer in the Midwest that doesn't revere Tom Skilling, right? I mean, and that's the and Roger Treemstra, by the way, who just made the Walk of Fame because of that. But it's
South that, Suburban great Roger Treemstra.
Those kinds of broadcasting because it made all the difference.
Well, anyway, it's important. It's their livelihood.
Sure,
I mean, we're talking about.
Well, you know, I used to years ago when I was going to school up in Madison, and then when I worked in Milwaukee, I'd listen to Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong on the noon show because they always did the best weather program, and I little. I think I'd be one day working with these guys, but it really, you know, I've often said for a weather forecaster, the groups that are most fun to talk to are mariners, aviators, and who else?
That's farmers. The LAL West Division.
Farmers.
Absolutely. Of course, absolutely.
Hold on 1 second. Wait, Tim, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Tim.
This is Tim McCormick. I was listening. I'm the CEO of SOS Children's Villages, and we have an event coming up on the 30th. And we have Christian Bale and the American icon, Gloria Steinem, and the city treasurer and the state comptroller. But once we put Tom Skilling on the billboard, it sold out. So.
You know, and Micah's going to be at that, too. Micah Mateer.
Has been very kind.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to it. That's next Wednesday. Isn't that right? Wednesday evening?
Yeah, it is.
This is a really cool event. I did this a couple of years ago.
This
is a very cool event.
That's cool.
Where you go and you go, they have a bunch of tables.
Yeah.
And you go from table to, there's an outdoor, beautiful dinner down here in Millennium Park. And you go from table to table, like every 20 minutes or whatever it is. I don't know, Tim, what is it, 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you move from table to table and you sit and the people get to ask you questions. You get to hang out with them.
Yes.
And it is. And it and so, I mean, Christian Bale, good luck, my friend, on that. I just want to make sure he brings his, make sure he's the good Christian.
Oh, good for you!
Because he does.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's agreed to do it, so I'm sure he's going to be on his very, very best behavior. But Tom Skilling, I'm telling you, the what I saw, and I've seen Tom in public before, but I've never seen what I saw yesterday at White Sox Park. I mean, it was insane.
Well, and the group there was knew, you know, what they were getting into. So they, but I, you know what,
they were weatherheads, as you're saying,
exactly. You know, like, but you know what, it's so much fun talking to people. You know, we sit in our little studios and our little, and you guys can talk to this too. Isn't it fun to get out and actually meet the people we're talking?
Oh, I don't
to?
Care for people, Tom, but I do understand
that.
Tom. I like.
No,
that.
I agree. No, and Ro always is. You know, for decades now, has done these live shows, different remotes.
Talk about
Tom, and we have. It's always wonderful to see you know, those smiling faces. And
absolutely.
And Tim, thank you very much. That's sosillinois.org, by the way.
That's terrific. I was looking forward to it. Was this Chris that we were talking to?
It was, it was actually Tim.
Tim. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tim.
Yep.
Tim, so, great to talk to you, and I look forward to meeting you.
If you see Christian Bale, call him Batman. He enjoys it.
Right.
Hey, Batman.
He appreciates that. Yeah.
I'll let you know how that goes. I'm really looking forward.
Ask him what he thinks of all the other Batman. The ranking. He enjoys that. Say, listen, Michael Keaton. Ben Affleck.
I really liked Michael Keaton better, but I thought you were
good. You're better than Clooney. Better than Clooney. Yeah, he enjoys that.
It's great.
Just, don't stand in his light. He hates that.
La-dee-da.
All right. Anyway, the point is this, that Tom Skilling's a rock star. All right.
Absolutely.
Now that I've said, I've told you all that.
It's a little, pressure on him,
It's a little too hot outside. It really is.
It's a little
muggy.
I love it, Tom.
This is, you know, Ro, I know what Ro is saying, Richard. I was sitting at my desk. I had the windows wide open. Oh, isn't it great to throw the windows open? And I can't wait to, you know, put on a pair of shorts and just not worry about work and just take this in. And this is such a treat after that barbaric April we went through with ice and snow and everything else.
I know. I'm kidding about it, but only half, because I had to change shirts halfway through the day.
A couple of interesting things. You know, the 92 that we're predicting away from the lake on Monday will be the warmest Memorial Day. There have only been 9 Memorial Days in 145 years of records. That goes back to 1873 that have had a 90-degree temperature on Memorial Day. So we're in the warmest top 5 or 6% of all Memorial Days with what we've got coming. And you know, this tropical storm, this subtropical storm that's formed off the Yucatan Peninsula and will be heading toward the Gulf of Mexico, the air that vents off these tropical systems migrates hundreds of miles north and then sinks, compresses, and warms. And that pretty well guarantees that this warm weather is going to kind of sit here over us for a while. We may get a lake breeze to cool things, but this is going to stick around.
And how are we going to do it? The Indy 500? I always ask for a personal.
You know what? There's a chance of an isolated thunderstorm, but I still say, Ro, I think the majority of hours are going to be dry.
I brought my own roof.
I'm
going to go in there with a halo over my head with a roof.
Well, have fun on that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That sounds very
cool. I'm just so excited for to see Danica. I saw Danica Patrick race once before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get to, you know, now this is her last race of, and, you know, Illinois girl, she's done all kinds of charity stuff here. We've done a few events together, and she's been on the show a number of times. And she's a dedicated, what a great story. She's a movie in and of herself, what she was able to do as an athlete. And when she went to NASCAR and she got right into the NASCAR thing, she started throwing her helmet at guys.
Oh my gosh,
I love that. Yeah. She get out of her car and say, "Come over here! I'll kick your ass!"
It's true.
I mean, she was. I loved everything about what she did.
Ads for the GoDaddy.
She changed everything. She changed.
Tom, do you and the roommates usually have like a nice bottle of cold milk to celebrate the Indy 500?
Oh, I
like the winners do.
We'll find some way to celebrate. Probably be more like iced tea. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm having one right
probably
now.
Disappointing.
What's happening right now? All right, Tom, we're going to run. Thank you very much. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy Friday, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right,
there he goes, Tom Skilling.
The best.
Right now, we find out from Judy what's coming up in a few minutes. Rokan Show. Richard Roper is here today, as he has the last couple of days. Anna DeVlantis has been off, and you were reviewing movies for this. This is the beginning of Blockbuster Weekend, but Blockbuster's now been coming out. Basically, you got a Blockbuster out at least every 3 weeks. Right?
That's true. I mean, the summer movie season used to be really kicking off with Memorial Day back in the day. Now it's really usually the last weekend in April, first weekend in May.
When Avengers
came out, which is great. It's a lot of fun for us because we get big blockbusters. Last weekend it was Deadpool 2.
And how did Deadpool 2 do?
$135 million, you know, just about a little bit less than the first one, but still a spectacular number for a longer and R-rated movie. So did very well. And then, of course, we have Solo, a Star Wars story.
The opens Han Solo this weekend. Movie. Now, yeah. You get the extra, a lot of people take this as a four-day weekend. It premiered last night, midnight, right, around the world. What do you think Solo, a Star Wars story, is going to do over this? Let's call it four-day weekend.
Good question. I think it'll do about $110 million, maybe $120 million. It's not less than that. I think so. Even though it is, you know, it's a more, you know, viewer-friendly rating and a lighter story, but you know, it's kind of a separate Star Wars, you know, prequel to the prequels to the New Hope. You know, so it's not, you know, in the current Star Wars lexicon, I don't think one of the most anticipated, like we've gotten with Force Awakens and films like that. But still, you know, it'll do quite well. Interesting, actually, though.
Is that, can I just stop for a second? Sure. Is that because it doesn't propel the story forward?
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, it's the things that I love about it are the exact things that some critics and fans are not going to like and have already said that, in that we're seeing Han with Chewbacca and Han with Lando Calrissian and the Millennium Falcon, but we know where it's going to go. So there, you know, there's a little bit less tension. Like with the current Star Wars movie, somebody could get killed, and somebody does get killed sometimes. We know that Han Solo is going to get through this adventure, you know?
That's a good point, yeah. Otherwise, what's the point of the rest of the movies?
Yeah. And one thing I thought I found fascinating looking at the international figures is that it is dead on arrival in China. Solo, a Star Wars story, and that is because the original Star Wars canon never played in China, so it doesn't have the impact for audiences there. The newer ones do. They never played, you know, Episode 4, New Hope. Maybe now they have at some point, but there isn't the history there with the Star Wars movies. So in other words, when Star Wars came out in 1977, as far as I could tell, it didn't play in China for decades. Now, maybe there might have been, you know, obviously the people have ways of getting to see movies, but not commercially, as opposed to the Avengers movies, the Marvel Universe. All of those movies have played in China, all 19 of them, I believe. So they do have, you know, there's, you know, those movies now, they have, you know, kind of a 15, 18-year history. You know, when you think about the first Iron Man and things like that. So there's a whole generation of movie fans in China. If you're 30 years old, you've been watching those movies since you were a kid.
Yeah.
So those are their Star Wars movies.
All right. Let's talk about if you don't want to go to a big blockbuster this weekend.
Yes, sir. Okay.
What should we go see?
A couple of films coming up, both very serious and very heavy subjects, but that does not mean that, you know, I know some people go, oh, geez, you know, I don't know if I want to see something like that. Well, great art is great art. And the first one we're talking about is First Reformed. Ethan Hawke, who has just had, you know, quite a career when you think about it, ever since he was a kid, really, an 18, 19-year-old actor. Ethan Hawke plays a priest at a small church in northern New England. It's a little church, a 250-year-old church with about 15 or 20 parishioners every Sunday. It's more of a tourist attraction because it's been there for so long. And he's dealing with some very serious issues in his own life. He's sick. He had a son before he became a priest who was killed in the war. He's really starting to doubt his faith. He's an alcoholic. And Amanda Seyfried plays a young parishioner who's pregnant, and she comes to him for help, and that becomes kind of a complicated relationship. And then you have Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, boy.
In a dramatic role. Now, he plays the head of the Abundant Life Ministries, which is the mega church up the road, which owns the little church that Ethan Hawke has. And they kind of just keep that church going as a favor to Ethan Hawke's character and because of the tourism. And Cedric is brilliant playing the kind of guy who, we don't question his faith, but he's the kind of guy who's wearing a $1,200 suit when he's talking about Jesus. And he's got the beautiful giant church which has multiple TV cameras and it's televised and all of that. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. I think we got a clip here where Cedric's character is actually talking to Ethan Hawke's character about faith.
I wasn't aware that I had offended.
Jesus doesn't want our suffering. He suffered for us. Mm-hmm. He wants our commitment and our obedience.
And what of his creation? The heavens declare the glory of God. God is present everywhere in every plant, every river, every tiny insect. The whole world is a manifestation of his holy presence. I think this is an issue where the church can lead, but they say nothing. The U.S. Congress still denies climate change. Where were we when these people were elected?
It's heavy stuff. Yeah. And Ethan Hawke, as you mentioned, you heard there, he's talked a little bit about the environment. He becomes really active and really kind of proactive in environmental causes. And they happen to be in a town where the biggest contributor to the church is an industrialist who's on all the lists of the worst polluters in the world. And things get really intense to the point where you wonder if this man of the cloth is maybe going to do something very drastic. Ooh. And very violent. And very destructive, and he contemplates that. And this is written and directed by Paul Schrader, who's one of the great screenwriters and directors, really, of the last 50 years, who wrote the screenplay for Taxi Driver. And you will see parallels in the character played by Ethan Hawke and the character played by Robert De Niro.
Wow.
Same kind of guy. Somebody with a, you know, there's a military element in the background. There's a feeling that the, you know, society has gone to hell. There's a feeling maybe that something should be done about it. I'll just leave it at that. But it's got that kind of intensity. And Ethan Hawke, I'm telling you, you know, you look at some of the performance he's done, everything, you know, going back to Training Day and Boyhood, he's great. You know, it's a very intense, tightly wound performance that really has you wondering if this guy is really, you know, a holy person or maybe somebody who's really going to go to the dark side.
And Cedric the Entertainer.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, terrific. Uses the full, I think his name is Cedric Kyle. Remember, like, there's always that moment where you become Dwayne Johnson. You know? Because it would have been weird if it had said, you know, the head of the Abundant Life Ministries is played by Cedric the Entertainer.
Ice Cube, though, he never went back.
No.
No, he decided Mr. Cube, and that was it.
Was he O'Shea, right? His name is, I think, yeah.
O'Shea Jackson.
Because his son calls himself, is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
Not Mini Cube.
No.
Not those little ice cubes, would that be?
Not ice pellet. He's not ice pellet. He's actually, okay, I get it. All right.
And a half stars, Ro. I should say 3.5 stars for First Reformed. Check it out. It's, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Paul Schrader wrote American Gigolo, Cat People, all kinds of intense films. A lot of his films are about men facing a serious crisis of conscience or really, you know, deciding which way they're going to go in life, which way, you know, they've traveled some dark roads.
All right. And then you also like, I'm assuming you like HBO's The Tale.
Yes. This is a film you want to talk about, you know, you talk about the most difficult subject matter, but handled so beautifully. The writer-director of the tale is a woman by the name of Jennifer Fox. She's a documentary filmmaker. This story is based very closely on her true life experiences. When she was in her 40s, her mother found a short story she wrote when she was 13 years old, and her mother read the story and was absolutely convinced that, her daughter had been abused by the track coach when she was 13. And Laura Dern plays the Jennifer, the filmmaker, in the movie. It's a fictional story, but it is the same story. And in her memory, her kind of gauzy memory of the time, she thought she was 15 or 16 and had kind of a love affair with the track coach. And then her mother shows her the letters and, other things and says, no, honey, you were 13. And I knew there were warning signs, but I didn't realize. And then there are these flashbacks where at first in Laura Dern's mind, she's a 16-year-old girl, 15 or 16-year-old girl. Then when she realizes what really happens, we flash back and it's a much younger actress playing her. And you realize it's a child. Not the 15 would be an excuse either, but it's even more shocking when you see it's a 12-year-old. And this film is all about her investigative efforts to find out if her memories are accurate.
Wow.
Was she seduced? Did she really even have an affair? Or was she raped? Which is what it would be, of course, if it's a grown man with a child. So really intense stuff. Common plays Laura Dern's boyfriend, who's trying to be supportive throughout this. Ellen Burstyn plays her mother.
Wow.
Who's amazing. And Jason Ritter plays the track coach who, you know, and we see in the flashbacks.
Son,
yes.
Right?
And, you know, that's a thankless role. And he's playing a monster, but he's a charming monster. And, you got to give, and a lot of actors, I think, wouldn't even take on the role. This is not a film where the camera pulls away at certain moments. You see things that are monstrous.
It's on HBO.
And it's HBO. It's a great film. I think it, you know, it handles this subject matter about as emphatically and delicately and strongly as it could be handled. And Laura Dern, I believe, if this movie had been a theatrical release, would be a front runner for Best Actress. She's that good.
She'll be for the Emmys, of course.
Yeah. So four stars for The Tale.
That's the first four-star in a long time.
Yeah, you know, there are few films that have tackled this subject that have tackled it, I think, handled it so well. And right. I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna sugarcoat it anyway and say like this is an entertaining ride, but it's great art. It's a great film, and Laura Dern, who's you know been a terrific actress for 30 years, gives maybe the best performance of her career.
All right, The Tale on HBO and first performed in theaters, and of course, and you did. You liked Solo, 3.5 stars for that.
Yeah,
people want to go see
a lot of good stuff in theaters.
And you also and you liked the Deadpool.
Deadpool 2. Just don't go to that book club with all those wonderful legends because you'll want to, you'll hope Deadpool will show up halfway through the movie.
And then do something bad in slow motion as he flies through the air.
Exactly.
With a witticism and maybe a saber. All right. Right now, let's find out from Judy what's coming up in a few minutes at the top of the hour. With Anna DeBlantis. Anna's off today. Richard Roper is here. We're getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend. We got Chicago White Sox baseball coming up. We've got a lot to discuss. And of course, most importantly, since it's 5 o'clock,
it's the top 5 on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Interesting. Checking in at
number 5.
Listen to this. Chicago police say that dozens of people suspected of participating in gang-affiliated crimes were arrested in a series of raids ahead of Memorial Day weekend. Now, agents from the FBI, the ATF, and Chicago police were involved in precision raids. I've never heard that term before.
No.
As of 4 a.m. this morning, 71 individuals had been arrested with charges including weapons violations, prostitution, narcotics, both dealing and possession, and then pending, according to police.
Missions, which began early Thursday morning, have so far yielded the arrest of 100 offenders, over 60 of whom are previously convicted felons. We have also seized 30 guns off the streets of Chicago before they can be used by these individuals as an instrument of destruction and tragedy. Additionally, a business, a small grocery store, that has hidden behind the veil of a legally operating establishment has been closed for promoting and contributing to illegal activity.
Oh boy. Wow. I mean, business. Eddie Johnson also talked about plans to secure the beaches over this weekend.
When a football team is making up their game plan, they don't tell the other side exactly what they're doing so that they don't try to circumvent it. So we recognize that North Avenue Beach was an issue. So trust me when I tell you, we're putting the resources out there to ensure that those types of incidents don't occur. But, you know, again, the one thing we cannot predict is human behavior. But if they want to act up out there, then we'll deal with them. It's as simple as that. We just will simply not tolerate that kind of behavior, not just Memorial Day weekend, but all through the summer.
It's really interesting because the commanders who are dealing with downtown this year, you know, there was an incident at Water Tower Place a couple weeks ago, and there was, you know, we're like maybe up to 300 kids. We're out there. There were some reports that said it was close to 300. Whatever that happens to be, sometimes it turns out to be 50. It looks like 300. Who knows? But they were acting up and as to use Superintendent Johnson's words and blocking the doorways and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the police were, you know, they were like, "We're not going to let that happen again because if you mess with downtown, you're messing with the bread and butter of Chicago because you can't." Because this is where tourists come. This is where the commerce happens. This is what pays to pave the streets throughout the rest of the city.
Right.
And so they are not, Chicago police, not going to play downtown.
And I'd forgotten about that, which we have a tendency to do when, you know, last year, some of the trouble that was happening on the beaches. And it's good to hear the superintendent saying, listen, we're out front on this. And don't worry about it. We've got some things we're not going to tell you about, but we're ready for it. So it's not going to take the police department by surprise.
Well, I saw the helicopter today at eye level, like at right over the beaches. Mm. Now, I think that they were looking for other stuff, but if they have air support and water support and then cops on the beaches, it's going to be people cannot start acting a fool out on the beaches right now.
Damn kids!
Right now, damn kids! Right, it is a damn kids.
High school suburb kids getting all crazy, doing Memorial Weekend in Chicago. Mm. Where are your parents, kids?
All the kids.
Damn millennials.
You come down here, you're going to act respectful.
Yes.
Pick up that trash.
That means you too.
Yeah, Violetta's with them. She's probably already got a whole beach party planned.
Exactly. She's whipping them all up. Kids, let's go to Water Tower, please.
It's like the kids listen to me.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number four.
All right, former acting attorney general Sally Yates was on with David Axelrod on the Axe Files, and she said that she is alarmed by President Trump's call for the Department of Justice to investigate whether the FBI spied on his campaign.
Yeah, well, this has really taken the assault on the rule of law to a new level. Really, from the beginning of this presidency, President Trump has not observed the time-honored norm that's been in place. At least since Watergate, that there should be a real division between the Department of Justice and the White House.
Okay. You know, everybody keeps bringing up Watergate. Richard Nixon was a complete gentleman when it came to this sort of thing at the end. You don't. This is not what you're getting here. It's pretty clear that there is an investigation. Even Republicans, when they came out of that meeting yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans are jumping up and saying, "Oh yeah, we weren't surprised by anything here," and the Mueller investigation should continue. Right? This is not right. When the president was jumping up and down and saying this is the greatest thing since Watergate. I would, if I were the president, if I were his advisors, although he doesn't listen to them, I would still say to him, "Yeah, you shouldn't bring up Watergate because it didn't end well for Richard Nixon. That turned out all to be true when they were going after him." Not a good thing. And then you got the story today about the meeting with the Russian oligarch at the Trump Tower that was never registered. And it turns out there was a camera there watching the guy go in 9 days before the inauguration to meet with Michael Cohen,
the president's personal attorney.
And Michael Cohen ended up getting a $1 million contract the guy right afterwards.
No relation.
I think you just might want to be a little careful. I think right now, Michael Cohen is the guy to look out for. Avenatti's out of it. Have you noticed? We haven't seen Avenatti. You see what happened to Avenatti?
Hmm.
He the $10 million judgment against Avenatti's law firm in L.A. Hmm.
Ouch.
He may have started the ball rolling, though. We may not see much more of it. I don't know.
Okay.
I could do an entire Memorial Day weekend Avenatti-free zone. It would be okay by me.
True.
I could watch The Longest Day over and over and over again on Turner Classic Movies. Okay. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, the president has just put out a tweet about Chicago.
Oh, God. Was it because of what I just said?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Did I get him to do that?
Yes.
Oh, come on. He's listening to the show. I hate this guy. I hate him. I also hate Michael Steele and Richard Roper. Thumbs down. Listen to WGN Radio and tune in. All right. What are you, Violetta, do you have something for us?
Line at LitFest on June 9th and 10th with a Fest Pass. That's right. Your Fest Pass
for LitFest.
To LitFest. Get them now before they're gone. LitFest.org/FestPass.
And right now, caller number 10 at 312-981-7200 rips us off for a pair of tickets to the Sistine Chapel's choir. First ever U.S. national tour. It's the oldest active choir in the world, by the way.
Wow.
Pope's Choir. Amazing. And they're going to be performing at the Erie Crown Theater on July 21st. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Cool.
Top 5 of 5 continues. We've worked our way all the way to
number 3.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein facing criminal charges in New York today. His lawyer was out there. Ben Bramfman. This is a thankless job.
Well, yeah. Let me say this without defending behavior. My job is not to defend behavior. My job is to defend something that is criminal behavior. Bad behavior. Mr. Weinstein did not invent the casting couch in Hollywood. And to the extent that there is bad behavior in that industry, that is not what this is about. Bad behavior is not on trial in this case. It's only if you intentionally committed a criminal act, and Mr. Weinstein vigorously denies that.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's not what Rose McGowan said. She was on Megyn Kelly's show this morning.
Could you forgive him?
I don't want to, because it's not about me. I'm just a representative for all of us who've been hurt. I want to forgive the world for hurting people, and he's a part of that. And I think there's so many others that I need to forgive even before him.
Mm-hmm. It was a very bizarre interview with Megyn Kelly.
She was the third sister in Charmed.
Rose McGowan?
Yeah.
I still can't figure out what Rose McGowan... I know I should know her for something.
That's the only thing I know her from.
Oh, no. She was in tons of movies. She was in Tarantino films. I mean, she had a pretty big career going for a while there.
All right. All right, and checking in at
number 2.
Will Smith is back in the booth and appears ready to release a new music.
A what now?
Yeah, Will Smith wants to be back, you know.
Welcome to Miami.
Getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And a new video titled 20 Years of Swag.
Gosh.
Uploaded to his YouTube page. The mogul spit out a few bars, flexed...
some muscles?
Yeah, a little bit of, you know, muscularity here from the hip and the hop and the hippity-doo-dop.
It's 20 years of swag y'all just witnessed. Let me remind everybody who Will Smith is. Rappers make it rain. Let their money hit you if I throw my money up. I probably kill a stripper. The illest, realest, big Willis. Down with the man in charge of where Uncle Phil is. Everybody wanna do Will Smith numbers. I don't know if your life got that many summers. I'm an anomaly. Do drama or comedy. I could play Muhammad Ali over a white lady. Probably still. 20 years of swag y'all just witnessed. Stop the divorce rumors and mind your damn business.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sounds a little like the opening of Fresh Prince, which troubles me.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was going to be a story about his life got flipped and turned upside down.
I love Will Smith.
And then he could just take a minute to sit right there.
Yeah, but you loved him because he was humble.
Well, right. Wild West. Right.
And then he just...
Humble?
Wild Wild West, by the way.
He was what?
No, but he was in his rap. I mean, he wasn't like... The whole thing wasn't about, look at how big I am. And now he's killing a stripper with a stack of money. I don't know. I don't think... and everything has to rhyme.
Welcome to Miami.
Yummy, poppy.
I liked... I like Wild Wild West.
Going to the Wild Wild West.
Yep. I liked it.
Getting jiggy with it. Big Will Smith guy.
Yeah. Because we're white. That's why.
Exactly.
That's exactly what the problem is here.
Oh my goodness.
All right, and finally.
Wow.
Checking in.
Number one.
Oh, you know this was going to happen. If you have seen the trailer for Happy Time Murders.
Oh, boy.
Which is a movie that's being. That, and I don't know. Melissa McCarthy's in this, and it's like Muppet-like characters, but they get involved in Team America, World Police kind of sexual activity.
Yeah, they coexist with actual humans
you know,
in the real world.
Oh, it's the trailer is shocking.
Yeah.
And you and you're like, why is Melissa McCarthy in this? And why is that puppet doing that to that puppet?
Gosh.
Well, the Muppets are suing. They don't need.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah. They want a lawsuit has been brought. Brought to you by the letter F because of the creators of Sesame Street are downright furious. That we'll say it for that, but I think it's F for something else.
50 cents. I'll s your d.
Wow. Well, it's a great price. It almost makes me wish I had a d for you to s.
All right. There you go. Let's
Wow.
I don't go watch the trailer.
The top five at five.